May I introduce what I have to say here today with a few rather miscellaneous bits of verse? They are miscellaneous in a way, but I believe they will prepare your minds for what I have to say. Some of these things are quite familiar to you, and you will recognize them. I'd rather see a sermon than hear one any day. I'd rather one should walk with me than merely tell the way. The eye's a better pupil and more willing than the ear. Fine counsel is confusing, but example's always clear. And the best of all the preachers are the men who live their creeds. For to see good put in action is what everybody needs. One good man teaches many. Men believe what they behold. One deed of kindness noticed is worth 40 that are told. Who stands with men in honor learns to hold his honor dear. For right living speaks a language which to everyone is clear. Though an able speaker charms me with his eloquence, I say, I'd rather see a sermon than hear one any day. And then here's one that I have liked. To everyone there openeth a way, and ways, and a way. And the high soul takes the highway, and the low soul takes the low. And in between on the misty flats, the rest grope to and fro. But to everyone there openeth a highway and a low, and everyone decideth which way his soul shall go. Because of the great influence we have on others, and which we will yet have on others, may I remind you of these two little things with which you are familiar. Last night, my little boy confessed to me some childish wrong. And kneeling at my knee, he prayed with tears, "Dear God, make me a man like Daddy, wise and strong. I know you can." Then while he slept, I knelt beside his bed, confessed my sins, and prayed with low bowed head, "Dear Lord, make me a child like my child here, pure, guileless, trusting thee with faith sincere." And then I like this one. "A careful man I ought to be. A little fellow follows me. I do not dare to go astray, for fear he'll go the selfsame way. I cannot once escape his eyes. Whate'er he sees me do, he tries. Like me, he says he's going to be the little chap who follows me. He thinks that I am good and fine, believes in every word of mine. The base in me he must not see, the little chap who follows me. I must remember as I go through summer's sun and winter's snow, I'm building for the years to be, the little chap who follows me." And then, keeping in mind what the opposition is, may I remind you of this little thing which you've heard before too. 6 days a week the devil works overtime on Sunday, and then he's ready once again to go to work on Monday. So if all evil you would shun and keep your conscience level, you must begin at early dawn and work just like the devil. One of the very beautiful things written by Ella Wheeler Wilcox is this: all those who journey soon or late must pass within the garden's gate, must kneel alone in darkness there, and battle with some fierce despair. God pity those who cannot say, "Not mine but thine," who only pray, "Let this cup pass," and cannot see the purpose in Gethsemane. I will always love Shakespeare for this, if for no other thing. This above all, to thine own self be true, and it must follow as the night the day. Thou canst not then be false to any man. Lowell one time wrote this: the only conclusive evidence of a man's sincerity is that he gives himself for a principle. Words, money, all things else are comparatively easy to give away, but when a man makes a gift of his daily life and practice, it is plain that in that truth, whatever it may be, he is sincere. The prophet Joseph Smith on sincerity wrote this one time: I do not regard my own life. I am ready to be offered a sacrifice for this people. For what can our enemies do? Only kill the body, and their power is at an end. Stand firm, my friends. Never flinch. God has tried you. You are a good people. Therefore, I love you with all my heart. Greater love hath no man than that he should lay down his life for his friends. You have stood by me in the hour of trouble, and I am now willing to sacrifice my life for your preservation. A great deal has been said about martyrdom at different times in our church, when men have been willing to die for their religion. And we pay honor to our great pioneers, so many of whom did give their lives out on the plains or in blizzards or in battle in order to preserve the great work of which we today are such an important part. But a great deal also has been said about giving your life for the work, not in death, but in living day by day. It's so easy sometimes to die. It's so hard sometimes to live the principles for which we stand. And what we need today is character. What we need is devotion, loyalty, a willingness to stand by our guns and fight and live, and then, if called upon, die to hold fast the faith. But as I see things right now, I believe it's far more important to live for our faith than to die for our faith. And so today we call upon all the youth of Israel to live for their faith. And at the request of the First Presidency, we present to the youth a program to help pinpoint some of these very important things. At the request of the presidency, we have introduced a program of which you've already heard a good deal. We are bringing to you and to all the young people of the church in positive and beautifully prepared messages a consciousness of some of the great fundamentals without which we cannot live successfully. These posters that I show you here are being displayed now in all of the meeting houses of the church throughout America, in the wards and in the mission branches. They will appear in this way, in two pieces. I hope they're going to be displayed down here in your various wards of this great state that you have. We have a great message in these posters, and the message is one that we hope will really bring to you some help in standing by your guns, in this character building, in this living a sermon every day rather than just preaching it. If necessary, in outdoing the devil, in working like the devil to uphold that which is right, if you'll excuse me for referring to that peculiar bit of verse. With this first poster, in case you haven't read the message, we bring this to you. Virtue is its own reward. There is more to marriage than music and moonlight. There is trust and sharing and being loved and deserving to be. There is companionship through years of growing up and growing old together. And to each partner in an honest marriage, there will come a time when nothing will be more important than personal purity. And it will not be just at some passing hour, but day after day, year after year, as long as you look at your loved ones, as long as you can feel, in reality or in memory, the small hand of a son or daughter as it closes around your finger. You, each of you, should take no less to marriage than personal purity. You have a right to expect it of the companion you choose. You have a sacred obligation to keep it and to offer it in return. The rewards of virtuous living are rich and enduring, but the price of sin runs high. The reward of virtue is a quiet conscience, the right to answer every question without reservation, the right to look every man squarely in the eye, and every boy and girl and woman also, without an accusing conscience. It is the right to pass on to your children and your children's children a clean record, a clean heritage, a good name. You cannot cheat. You cannot avoid consequences. So be virtuous. Be honest with yourself. This is our second poster. With a great message, it also has a side piece like the other. They all will be displayed in that way. Healthy, happy, lucky you. Be honest with yourself. Lucky is the youth who has learned that health, success, and happiness come with clean living. Lucky is the youth who has learned that some things should not be touched or tampered with, that some things should be left alone. Lucky is the youth who learns this lesson early in life from parents and from the teachings of the church, and who does not have to learn it the hard way. Health and happiness and success are what our Father in heaven wants for us, and that is why he has given us commandments to keep, and not for any other reason. Health and happiness and success are what our parents want for us, and that is why they give us counsel and commandments, and not for any other reason. We have one mind and one memory, and it deserves to be clear and clean. We have one earthly body which must last for a lifetime. Our Maker planned it that way. He knows what is good for us. He knows what will give us health and happiness and success and peace inside of ourselves. That is why he has told us how to live. That is why he has told us to leave some things alone. Lucky you. You don't have to learn everything the hard way. Lucky you. You can learn early from those who love you. Lucky you. You don't have to pay a painful price for learning how to live. You don't have to learn too late. Be smart. Be clean. Be virtuous. Be healthy. Be happy. Be honest with yourself. And then our third poster is on beauty. And you boys particularly will be interested in the beauty, the girls only incidentally. Beauty is more than skin deep, is the message in brief. Beauty is more than skin deep. Be honest with yourself. And here's our message accompanying that. What is beauty? Who can have it? Ask John Robert Powers, world-famous authority on the subject. After many years of choosing and training after many years of choosing and training beautiful models, he will tell you this. Quote, "There are certain features that most beautiful women have in common. A glow of health, a radiant personality, a complete self-assurance and naturalness, intellectual curiosity, integrity, and stability of character. Real beauty comes from within. It is within the potentialities of almost every girl." End of quote. Or look to some authorities of the past, said Emerson, quote, "Beauty is the soundness of the bones, a peach-ripe complexion, health of constitution that makes the sparkle and power of the eyes, and character gives splendor to youth." Sir James Barrie says of charm, the sister of beauty, quote, "If you have it, you don't need anything else. If you don't have it, it doesn't matter much what else you have." Beauty is largely a matter of the thoughts we think, the deeds we do, the food we eat, the interest we show in others. It is the sum of sincerity, enthusiasm, and unselfishness. It is the product of busy days and nights, untroubled by guilty regrets. Beauty is obedience to the laws of health and happiness. To these, add a lively search for eternal truth, for the good things here, for the good things hereafter. And you will surely find beauty in living and be beautiful yourself. In short, beauty is a reflection of what you are inside yourself. So if you would be beautiful, be honest with yourself. Our next poster, which will come out in another month, is not printed yet, but it will be captioned, "Great Men Pray." And I would like to read you the message, because again we appeal to all Latter-day Saints to pray. Great and wise men and women of all ages have sought and received help through prayer and have found an unfailing source of strength. Washington at Valley Forge, Lincoln before Gettysburg, Eisenhower on D-Day, Joseph Smith in the Sacred Grove, Jesus at Gethsemane, all these have prayed. Grant us liberty, preserve the nation, give us wisdom, deliver us from evil, thy will be done. And these too are proper petitions to an understanding Father in heaven. The trust of a child at a mother's knee, the prayer of a father for the return of a wayward son, the student's honest seeking for answers to an examination, a young man's reverent request for strength to do his best in ball game or business venture, the young woman's plea for guidance in choosing a husband, the earnest soul's sincere desire that he answers these petitions, though in his own time and way, is a truth to which millions can daily testify. What about you? Do you ever need help from a higher source? Then follow the example of the great and good and wise men of all ages. Ask and receive. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Pray. Be honest with yourself. There will be other posters. There will be other messages. We ask you to look for them and read them and be thrilled with them. And then, as you have younger brothers and sisters, will you write home and encourage them likewise to thrill with these messages, to be uplifted by the message, to be true to the faith, to build real character, to be honest with themselves? Remember, this above all, to thine own self be true, and it must follow as the night the day. Thou canst not then be false to any man. May we be true. May we be faithful. May we be honest with ourselves, is my humble prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.